welcome to be a part of that as well. So thankful for what God is doing in Elohim. I want to encourage you to connect and be a part of these things. How many are ready to get into the teaching of the word today? I'm going to invite you to stand one more time as we do every Sunday in reverence to God's word. We're going to open up our Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. So Joshua chapter 1 is a pretty popular chapter. Many have preached and taught about it. I believe that the Lord is going to speak to our hearts this morning with regard to just embracing the new season. And as we talk with regard to Joshua, and I'll share a little bit of the context in the beginning of the sermon, but it was a new season for Joshua. It was a new time for him. And the Lord has put in my heart to dedicate these next two Sundays to the theme approaching a new season. As we bring closure to 2018 and we embrace 2019, that something new would be stirred up within us. Something new would be stirred up within us. And we want to dedicate these next two sermons to this theme, approaching a new season. Today, we want to answer the question, what is before us? And next Sunday, we want to answer the question, what is needed? What is before us? And next Sunday, what is needed? Approaching a new season. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am given to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot would tread upon, I am given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the day of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause these people to inherit the land I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So Joshua offered the officers of the people. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land your God is giving you for your own. Father, we draw close to you, Lord, because you are what we need. In every season of our life, oh God, we want to be sure that we are sensitive to what you're doing in our lives and what you're doing through us. Father, I pray, Lord God, that these next couple of Sundays would stir our hearts up to embrace the new season, the new time, something new that you want to do in our lives, oh Lord. I pray that as we meditate over this scripture, this story today, that things would resonate within our hearts and that we would be reminded of what you call us to do. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Approaching a new season. From the moment that we give our hearts over to Christ, we believe that Christ is always doing something new in us. We believe that God is always doing something new in us. He's always challenging us to believe him more and to trust him more. He's always challenging us to walk in faith and not by sight. You see, he's doing a transforming work in us. It's a new work that he constantly is doing. It's a present day thing Every day, it's a new work that he's doing within our lives. He's leading us always, though, into new things, new ways of serving people, new ways of living the life that he's called us to live, things that we surrender and embrace, new things in our life. He's looking for people that he can trust. He's looking for people that will trust him wholeheartedly and that he can entrust wholeheartedly as well. See, God is looking to do something new in us and through us. As we get ready to embrace the 2018 season, the 2019 season, and as we bring closure to the 2018 season, let us embrace this new year and this new season with a sense of excitement, knowing that God is going to do something special through us and in us. See, for Joshua, it was a new call upon his life. As we read Joshua chapter 1, it was a new responsibility for him. He no longer was the number two. He was no longer the guy that would go into the tent of meeting and pray while Moses was out doing the work. No, now he had become the leader. And that had brought fear upon him. God was reminding him of the blessing that God had given to Moses and the promises that God had given to Moses. And God tells him, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. And the promises that were for Moses will also be with you. See, the Israelites were getting ready to enter into the promised land. And God was telling him, I will be with you and I will give you the victory. Joshua was about to see armies destroyed before his eyes. He was about to see city walls come tumbling down. He was about to see hail come from heaven and help fight battles for him. He was about to see the sun not set for one night. He was about to encounter God's commitment to all that is righteous and all that is right. You see, he didn't know that that was all before him. He only knew the end result, that God would take the people into the promised land. He didn't know that he would have to fight these battles particularly and how God will particularly help him through them. He knew he would have to fight battles, but how God would intervene, he wasn't sure. And he knew that God would help him, and he knew the end result, but he didn't know the particulars of his every single day. But he knew that it was a new season in his life. I want to tell you that God has promises for us, and we know the end result. And we know that God is going to take us and bless us and keep us. But sometimes the particulars are the things that we don't know, but we trust God for those things. And as we bring closure to this new year, as we approach this last month of the year, we get ready for Christmas, we get ready for New Year's, I want to remind you that a new season is approaching us. And it's a season full of God's blessings and full of God's promises, just like they were for Joshua. We only know the end result, but I want to remind you today that God is faithful to his word. So if he said it, we will see it. If he promised it, we will experience it. The process may not always be easy, but the result is always faithful. It's always faithful because it comes from God. So as we approach this new season, let us look at the story. Let us look at Joshua. Let us get ready to answer the question, what is before us? Next week, we'll answer the question, what is needed? But today, let's get ready to answer the question, what is before us? As we put ourselves in the place of Joshua, embracing this new season, embracing what God wants to do, what is before us? Three things that I want to share with you that I believe are before us. The first thing is, there's something new before us. Something new. How many know that God is always doing something new in us? Right? There's always something new that God is stirring up. This was for Joshua. God was doing something new. He was accustomed to being the number two. He would pray. He would fight. He stood by Moses' side. But now Moses is dead and God is calling him to lead the people, to hear from God and to obey. There's a shifting in his life. There's something new happening within him. God is not using him as the number two, as the assistant of Moses. No, but God has positioned him to lead his people. Something new. I remember my first day here when Pastor Del Valle had retired. And I remember walking into the building and feeling this sense of responsibility that the building was now our responsibility completely. And the sense that the buck stopped here. And I remember that sense of causing some anxiety because there was a shifting in our lives. And at times God is doing that within us. He's shifting us. He's bringing us into something new. And the Bible teaches us that this is what God does in our lives. He takes us from one level of glory to another level of glory. The Bible teaches us that he's doing something new. That is why he's at work in us every single day, bringing us into perfection in him. The Bible says that he stirs things up in our hearts, and we come to know that God is doing something new in us, but he's also doing something new through us. He uses our gifts to get his will done. See, he's using us. Why? Because we are the instruments that he used to accomplish his perfect will. So he uses us for his perfect will. He uses the gifts that he has given us. He also uses our willingness to get his will done. And he also uses his power in us for his perfect will. You see? So God is doing something new in us, and he's doing something new through us. His Holy Spirit works that in us, preparing us for something new. And he uses the gifts that he's given us. He uses our willingness to say, Lord, here I am. And his power manifested in our lives helps get his will done in our lives. God is doing something new in us. I want to remind you that he creates opportunities for us to embrace the new thing. He creates opportunities for us to say, here I am, send me. He creates opportunities for us to say, I will stand in the gap for them. He creates opportunities for us to fulfill his will here on earth. He speaks to us, whether it be through a vision, through his word, through an encouragement. Why? Because God is doing something new in us, and it's our job to embrace it. There are so many that will come to church and they'll be in and out for years and not embrace anything new because they haven't responded to the very thing that the Lord speaks into their hearts. But today, I want to remind you, as we bring closure to 2018, I want to remind you that God is doing something new in you. He's doing something new in me. Do we embrace it? For Joshua, it was a level of promotion. God was taking him to another level. He'd been promoted. His responsibilities has changed. God was doing something new in his life. He will no longer be known as the assistant of Moses, but now he would be known as the leader. God had prepared him for it. God had challenged him for it. He was experiencing increase in his life. And God had embraced that. Or God had offered him that opportunity. So today, I remind you that God is offering opportunities for us to embrace something new in our lives. I love in the call of Jeremiah, when God speaks to Jeremiah, he tells him, get yourself ready, stand up and say to them, whatever I command you. Jeremiah 1:17. I love that he tells him, get yourself ready, stand up. In other words, change your posture. There's something different that I'm about to do in your life. And the other way, the old way, would not be enough for this new thing. Stand up. Embrace the change. Change your posture. Because I'm about to do something in you and through you that I have never done before. There is a promotion. I want to give you something new for this season. I want to encourage you here today. As we embrace this new season, embrace this new opportunity that God has given us. He gives it to us all the time, but some are just so accustomed to their everyday routine that they miss out. But would you say amen to it? Would you say, here I am, I stand and ready to take on the new call, the new opportunity that God has given me? There's a new commissioning. Each and every one of us should understand and embrace this, that God wants to take each and every one of us to a new level. Yeah. Do you sense it in you? Do you sense that God is speaking to you throughout the season? This today would only be an affirmation or a confirmation of what God already has been speaking to your heart. Do you feel the sense that he has just been nudging at you, saying, I got something new for you. I'm preparing you for a new way. I'm preparing you for a new commissioning, something new. So I would pray that as we close out this season, that over the next few weeks, you would dedicate time to prayer and to fasting and to time alone with God and say, God, I'm willing to embrace the new thing that you want to do in my life. In this new season, I'm willing to embrace it. And I'm willing to make it mine, God. I'm willing to stand in the gap and do what you call me to do. For I know that you've been calling me for something new. And the church says, as we talk about embracing the new season, we're answering the question here today, what is before me? What is before me? The first thing is there's something new before you. The second thing is there's something unexpected. Something unexpected. See, Joshua was confronted with the unexpected. He knew the end results because God had promised it. He knew that he would finish up in the promised land, and he knew that the people would finish up in the promised land. But how would it all come together? It was unexpected, right? But how would he get there? You know, how would he defeat the great cities? The city of Jericho, how would he defeat that city? He didn't have the plan until he got there. He would not know how he would defeat the city, but he knew that some way, somehow, he would defeat the city of Jericho. He knew that he would defeat the city of Jerusalem. He didn't know how, but he knew that God had told him that that land would belong to the people, to his people. It was unexpected. How would this happen? He did not know. He did not know that five kings would gather together because they had heard that God was with the Israelites. And they had heard that Joshua and the armies of the Israelites were running through cities. And they had heard that God was doing a mighty thing. And these five kings come together and they say, hey man, we can't let these guys bully us. We'll get together, us five, and we'll show them. And five cities, five kings come together against Joshua and the Israelites. And God sends hail from heaven. Joshua chapter 10. He sends hail from heaven. I mean, so I was just visualizing, God just, whoo. And the Bible says that more soldiers of those five cities died by the hail sent from heaven than by the sword of the Israelites. Joshua chapter 10, verse 11. So here we see the unexpected. God, Joshua knew that God had promised him those cities, but he did not know how he would obtain them. I want to tell you here today that God has promises for each and every one of us. And we may not know how we're going to obtain them. It's unexpected. We don't know how we get there at times. But our faith tells us that in time of war, God will send hail from heaven and he will destroy our enemies before us. And we will see the victory that God wants to give us, not by the power of our hands, but by the power of God. And he delivers his promises because he is faithful to his word. In our walk of faith, we're always confronted with the unexpected. We never know what tomorrow holds. And in a moment, our lives can change. Where is our confidence? Confidence. Where does it come from? It comes from God's promises in our life. God's spoken word over our lives. And God has said to us, keep focused on my word because my promises are real for you. He may not know the how, we may not know the how, but we know the end results. So God's promises, God's spoken word gives us direction and hope in uncertain times. It's his word and his promises that give us hope in uncertain times. And someone asked, what are God's promises, right? So we can name a few of them really faithful, really quickly. He's promised to guide us each day, right? He's promised to guide us. I live by this word, and there are a lot of verses that I can share with you and you can find with regard to God promising to guide us, right? He promises to guide us in unexpected times. And when we don't know what to do, he promises that he will guide us, and he assures us that his promises are real for us. The psalmist said in Psalm 73, you guide me with your counsel and afterwards you take me into your glory. That's a life verse for me. You guide me with your counsel. Your counsel will help me here. I can't do it without your counsel. I can't do it without the direction of your word. And after this, it's your counsel that will take me into heaven. The psalmist said in Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eyes upon you. And I love that. God is saying, listen, in uncertain times, my counsel will be over your life as I never take my eyes off you. I never take my eyes off you. I'm always watching you so that I can give you the right advice at the right time so that you can inherit all the promises that I have for you. Right? So you're here today, and I want to tell you that you're here today because God has led you and guided you here. You're listening to us via Facebook today because God has led you that way. And I want to encourage you and know that God has his eyes on us and his promises guide us each and every day. You see, his promises not only guide us, but his promise, he has promised to supply our every need. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So we walk in the unexpected each day, knowing that our needs will be supplied to us. See, if we're good stewards with all that has been entrusted to us, our money, our time, our energy, we understand that God will always provide all our needs. Philippians chapter 4:19 says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. If I opened up the mic today and I said, hey, how many can testify or wish to testify about the time that God supplied your need, about the time that God gave you a job right on time, about the time when you trusted God and you saw the mighty hand of God. I know that so many would raise their hand and be able to testify how they never lacked their need. We may at times not get what we want, but we will never lack our needs. I remember a time when I was underneath this one of these church pews. It was actually the old church pews. And all that can come out of my mouth was, God, I trust you. And as I tried to pray, all that would come out of my mouth was, God, I trust you, God. I trust you, God. I trust you, God. And in the midst of that time, a time where we walked out and just believed God for some particulars in our lives, we saw the hand of God supply every need of our life. I want to encourage you here today. God promises to supply every need. I have noticed that those who have lacked need in their life is because they haven't trusted God with the other aspects of their life. You see, it's a walk of faith. We trust God and we see God supply our needs. If we try to handle things ourselves, then God says, well, you took me out of the equation. You're on your own now. But if you live right, and if you're faithful and obedient to the things that God has called you to be faithful and obedient, you open up the opportunity where God says, I will show you my glory. I will show you my power. I will show you my might. I will show you that I'm faithful to all my promises for you. Right? God promises to supply all our needs. Right? In uncertain time, God promises to empower us for the things that he has entrusted us. And this is important for me to share with you, especially to our leaders that are here today. See, God isn't calling us for certain things in our lives. He's calling us to trust him. He's calling us to live by faith. He's calling us to embrace his ministry, his call for our lives. And sometimes we feel like we just can't. And that's okay to think that we can't in our own flesh and in our own weaknesses, because we know ourselves better than anybody else knows ourselves. But God wants to remind us today that he promises to empower us for the things that he has entrusted to us. He's promised to give us all that we need for what is before us. So if the Lord is stretching you today, if the Lord is calling you for something new, and you feel a sense of, I'm not capable enough. I don't have it. I'm not as gifted as others. God says, you are perfect for me to entrust all my power and all my will so that at the end I can get all the glory for it. I want to encourage you here today to remember that if God has called you, he will empower you for it. The promises of God is to give us wisdom in our time of need. I love Luke chapter 21, verse 15. Where Jesus says this to the disciples, I will give you a mouth and wisdom. And so he's saying, if I have given you a mouth, I'm going to give you the wisdom as well. In other words, you know, sometimes we think, you know, are we going to have it? But God is promising us and saying, hey, if you do what I've called you to do, just like you have a mouth, you will have the wisdom that you need for the occasion or the task at hand. So I just want to encourage you. The promises of God, we know the outcome, but how do we get to the outcome? By trusting God for his promises. See, he promises to care for our souls. Even when we feel our bodies withering away, he will care for our souls. You see, in the unexpected, we know the end result, but how do we get through the unexpected? We get through the unexpected by embracing the promises that God has for us. And that allows us to walk this walk of faith, knowing that God is going to give us everything that he has spoken to us, because his promises for us are real. And he promises to guide us. He promises to supply our needs. He promises to empower us. He promises to give us the wisdom that we need. He promises to care for our souls. And for that reason, in times that we don't expect certain things, we will have all that we need to reach the end result, which is God's will for our lives. And I love that the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes and amen in Christ. Isn't that awesome? No matter how many promises, no matter how many things God has said that he will do for us, because God has said them, they're all yes and they're all amen in Christ. That God will do what he says he's going to do. So as we embrace this new season and we're asking what is before us, something new, something unexpected, and the last thing this morning is something practical, an assignment, a task, something practical, a call. See, God tells Joshua, now therefore rise, go over this Jordan, and you and your entire people into the land I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. An assignment, something practical for Joshua. I want you to know that God is calling us to put hands on, to put our hands on the plow. Not to look back, but to put our hands on the plow and do the work that God has called us to do and live the life that God has called us to do. Not just something in the superficial, but something practical. He tells them, I have an assignment for you, he tells Joshua. I'm giving you this land. You are the instrument that I'm going to use that's going to lead the people there. God uses us. In this new season, God is looking to entrust us with the work that blesses his people. You see, we're just instruments. Sometimes we think that God calls us for something because we're special, or something special about us, or a particular blessing to us. No, God wants us to be instruments of blessings to those around us. The assignment for Joshua had everything to do with getting the people into the promised land that God had for them. His assignment had everything to do with God's people. Our assignment, what God has entrusted us, has everything to do with God's people. Some may ask, what is my assignment? What is the task that God has for me in this new season? It's about getting God's people into the promises that God has for them. See, God wants to use us to align people with his perfect will for their lives. We're just instruments that God wants to use. And that should take a, we should feel a sense of great honor. Great honor. That in this new season, there's an assignment for us, a task for us. That God himself wants to use us to reconcile people to his perfect will. That is our responsibility, and it's our practical responsibility. Yes, let's pray them through it. But what is it that God has entrusted us with so that we could also walk with them through it? A few points to share here. The first thing is that God has given us a ministry of reconciliation. It's a practical ministry. A ministry of reconciliation. God has called us, Apostle Paul writes, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. God is using each and every one of us to be instruments. What? To reconcile people back to God. It's our practical ministry. When was the last time you looked at somebody and said, what you need is Jesus in your life. What you need is Christ in your life. When was the last time we looked at somebody and said, hey, you tried it your way for a long time. Why don't you try it Christ's way? When was the last time we told somebody that salvation would only come through one name, and his name is Jesus? If there's no one to preach to them, then no one will hear. God has called us into this practical ministry of reconciliation to seek the opportunity to show people that Christ loves them. In our practical responsibility, what is before us? We are reminded that we've been entrusted the ministry of reconciliation. But I love that we're also reminded to do good for others, to strive to do good for others. Listen to these words of the Apostle Paul. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 through 18. So Paul is finishing his book to Thessalonians, and he wants to urge them to do good. And this is what he writes. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What's something practical? What's our assignment? To do good for others. Warn those that are idle. I would encourage you, you see somebody not doing so well, don't go home and say, you know, so-and-so don't look like he's doing so well. But come close to them and say, hey, you okay? Man, is there anything I could help you with? Any way I could pray with you? Any way that I can encourage you? Warn those who are idle, who are stagnant. I've been there too. I know what stagnant waters do to us. And I want to tell you, as I've gotten out of it, you can get out of it as well. Warn those who are disruptive. You know, you're not edifying. Sometimes we want to throw gasoline on the fire, and God is calling us to throw water on the fire and to look at people and say, you're not edifying. Your ways are not edifying. The way you spoke was not edifying. And that's okay, because God has called us to strive to do good. I love that the Apostle Paul said, encourage the disheartened. Let them know it's going to get better. You may be going through some hard times right now. It's going to get better. He says, help the weak. Walk with those that need a hand. Walk with those that are struggling. Walk with those that are battling life. I love that he says, be patient with everyone. You know, sometimes we say things like, I don't have no patience for that. How foolish are we to speak that way? When we understand that God is giving us a spirit of love that calls us to a gift of patience with those that need us to be patient with them, to need us to meet them where they are and stand in the gap with them. That's how we strive to do good, and that's how we embrace our assignment. To make sure that no one pays back wrong for wrong. To stand in the gap for those that need someone to protect them and help them. Strive to do good for each other. It's our assignment. It's the practical aspect that God is calling for us to do. I remind you here today that God is calling us for something practical. What is that? Ministry of reconciliation and strive to do good for others. And something practical is to lead by example, model obedience, live right. You know what I love about Joshua? The people had seen Joshua's faithfulness. They saw his faithfulness to God, and they saw his faithfulness to Moses, and they had seen that God was with him. And because they had saw that God was with him, they were willing to follow him. In verse 16 and 17 of Joshua chapter 1, it says, and they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded, we will do. And whatever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord God be with you as he was with Moses. The sense of he modeled, Joshua modeled what was right, and the people said, I will go with you. Something practical. I want to encourage you to model a life that is worthy of the call upon your life, as the Apostle Paul says it. Worthy of the call. Model this life. And as you model the life, you give glory to the Father, and you honor the body of Christ here on earth. That's why Paul tells Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. He was telling Timothy, just because you're young, don't let that discourage you. What's going to have the people love you and respect you as a pastor was the model life that you live. And he says the same thing to Titus. Show yourself in all respect to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity and dignity. In other words, he was telling Titus, if you do these things, you will be a faithful servant of the Lord. Today, I want to remind you, as we close our thought this morning, I want to remind you today that God is calling us for something new. It's a new season in our life. It's a new season. It's an opportunity to say, okay, God, I'm going to change my ways. I'm going to follow you. So God reminds you here today that there's something new. God is always looking to do something new within us, a new level, a promotion, a new commissioning. He's always looking to do something new. And he has been speaking into your heart for some time and saying, no longer this way, but embrace the new thing. And as we embrace the new thing, we get to see all that God wants to do in us and through us. What is before us? Something new. What is before us? Something unexpected. No, we're not going to know how to handle every single day right now. We don't know how to handle all those armies that come up against us right now. We don't know how those city walls will come tumbling down. But we know that the promises of God will lead us every single day. And it's the promises of God that get us to the blessing that God has for us, to the results that God has for us. Yes, there's something unexpected. I don't know if I can. Will I be able to? God is stirring this up in my heart. How am I going to get there? What would be the result? God's promises will lead us every single day. And something practical. Don't just pray about it. Don't just go to church and wait for something magical to happen. Something practical. Embrace the call. Embrace the ministry of reconciliation. Strive to do good. Something practical. Look for the opportunity to encourage somebody. Look for the opportunity to tell somebody, man, you're in stagnant waters. Look for the opportunity to tell somebody, man, God is going to do something great with your life. Embrace the opportunity that says, don't be destructive, but be constructive. Embrace the opportunity that says, and God has placed you there to help someone. Something practical. And lead by example. Live this life. And as you do, you'll see that others would want to follow you. And you would be a perfect example of what God wants to do here on earth. So today, we answer the question, what is before us? Something new, something unexpected, and something practical. I want to invite you to stand. If the Lord wills it, next week we'll answer the question, what is needed? What is needed? How many know that we need courage to do this? We need faith. We need obedience. That's what we need. We'll talk about that next week. What is before us? Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the teaching of your word. For the teaching of your word should stir something up in our hearts. Today, Lord God, you are ratifying some things that you have spoken to our lives already. Some things that you're speaking to us, Lord. Some things that you're renewing within us. Lord, this is a season, Lord God, that you're about to do some great things with many of us. Whoever stands up and says, here I am, send me, will enjoy this new season, this new thing that you want to do in their lives, oh Lord. Yes, the unexpected comes. We don't know how we'll do all those things. We don't have all the answers right now. But we know that if you have spoken it, Lord, it will come to pass. So we will trust your promises. to guide us, to give us wisdom, to give us power, to help us, to keep us. We will trust your promises because we know, Lord God, that your promises are yes and amen. And we will embrace the practical, not just the mystical, not just the spiritual, but the practical. And we will say, here I am, Lord, use me. I embrace the ministry of reconciliation. I strive to do what is good. And I model the life that you've called us to live. As we embrace this new season, O Lord, we ask, Father, that you would help us. Help us, Lord. For too long, many of us, Lord, have heard you chirping in our ears, speaking to our hearts. Even today, we feel a sense of our feathers being ruffled because we know, Lord God, that you're stirring something new within us. Father, I pray, Lord God, that we would hear the words that you spoke to Jeremiah. Get yourself ready. Stand up and say whatever I command you to say. Get yourself ready. Girdle your loins. Tighten your belt. Change your posture. Stand up and be ready to say whatever I command you to say. Father, we would embrace this new season, knowing, Lord, that it's you that have called us, that you that help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 As we get ready to close this morning.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.